ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। बुद्धे जागरणं स्वप्ना सुषुप्तिरिति वृत्तयः तायेनैव अनुभूयन्ते सोऽध्यक्षा पुरुषः परः।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। इंटेलिजेंस कैन बी परसीव्ड इन थ्री स्टेट्स ऑफ एक्टिविटी, वेकफुलनेस, ड्रीमिंग एंड डीप स्लीप। द पर्सन हु परसीव्स दीज थ्री टू बी कंसिडर्ड इज टू बी कंसिडर्ड द ओरिजिनल मास्टर, द रूलर, द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड। पर्पट, विदाउट इंटेलिजेंस वन कैनॉट अंडरस्टैंड द डायरेक्ट एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द सेंसेस, नॉर कैन ही अंडरस्टैंड ड्रीमिंग और सेसेशन ऑफ ऑल ग्रॉस एंड सटल एक्टिविटीज। The seer and controller is the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme soul by whose direction the individual soul can understand when he is awake, when he is sleeping, and when he is completely in trance. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entities are completely absorbed in the three states of wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep through their intelligence. This intelligence is supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accompanies the individual soul as a friend. Srila Madhvacharya says that the living entity is sometimes described as Sattva Buddhi when his intelligence acts directly to perceive pains and pleasures above activities. There is a dreaming state in which understanding comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, is the Supreme Controller, and under his direction, the living entities are sub-controllers. One must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's intelligence. So we are reading from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the womb of his mother. Just to recapitulate, towards the conclusion of the last chapter, Prahlad Maharaj, out of his gratefulness to his spiritual master, Narad Muni, tells his classmates, Shrutam etat maya purvam jnanam vijnana sanyutam धर्मम भागवतम शुद्धम नारदा देवदर्शनात। सो ही टेल्स हिज क्लासमेट्स, हिज स्कूलमेट्स, दैट आई रिसीव्ड दिस ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज फ्रॉम माय गुरु नारद मुनि। इट इज कॉल्ड भागवत धर्म। इट इज फुल्ली साइंटिफिक एंड इट इज बेस्ड ऑन लॉजिक एंड फिलोसफी एंड इट इज शुद्धम। इट इज फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल कंटेमिनेशन। नाउ व्हेन Prahlad Maharaj says this, his classmates are somewhat bewildered. So they ask him, they say that you never ever left the palace of your father, and you never also met any other teacher than Shanda Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya. Then how come you received this transcendental knowledge which you are willing to share with us from Narad Muni? Where did you meet him? So then, in the beginning, preceding verses, Prahlad Maharaj tells with great clarity to his classmates how he, when he was in the womb of his mother Kayadu, the demigods headed by Indra kidnapped her. They wanted to take her to the heavenly planets with the intention of getting rid of this child in the womb of Kayadu. It is then that Narad Muni, the saintly personality, intervenes and tells Indra, don't commit this heinous act, because the child in the womb of Kayadu is not an ordinary personality. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. Ayam Nishkilbishaha Sakshat Mahabhagavato Mahan. He is pure devotee. He is faultless. He is sinless. In fact, he is Mahabhagavat. When thus very specifically told, Indra immediately understands and he withdraws from this heinous activity, circumambulates Kayadu, in whose womb is this glorious devotee Prahlad Maharaj, and then leaves. Narad Muni brings her to his ashram, where he takes very tenderly care of her, both on the physical front and on the spiritual front, by giving her instructions, spiritual instructions. Now these spiritual instructions are intended for Kayadu, but then Prahlad Maharaj is in the womb, and there he receives all the instructions. And then he tells his friends that my mother, due to passage of time and due to other circumstances, has forgotten the spiritual instructions, but I remember all of them. So Prahlad Maharaj is glorified for his smaranam. He is our role model for smaranam. So he remembers everything, each and every instruction he remembers. And then he shares with him his various realizations which he has heard. So he tells his friends, very shortly, tells his friend that you place your faith in me. Place your faith in me, and then whatever transcendental knowledge I have received from my spiritual master, that will be yours. You will understand the difference between the soul, spirit soul, and the body. You will understand that the soul accepts a body, and the body undergoes 6 changes, which terminates in death. So the spirit soul doesn't undergo any such changes. And the Supreme Lord, who is there, He is the one who guides all the activities of a living entity. Then he gives this very beautiful example. He says that just as an expert geologist, we can call him metallurgist actually, so a metallurgist who extracts gold from its ore, even little gold is there, he knows, he has the technology, he has the technique to isolate gold. It's a very precious thing. Similarly, the spiritual scientist who knows about the spirit soul, he guides, he knows how to achieve spiritual perfection. So thus, Prahlad Maharaj educates his friends, and he says that then he talks about the gross body, its constituents, that it is made up of 5 elements. Then he talks about the subtle body. So in the verse that we are today just now discussing, it speaks about primarily intelligence, it speaks about the states of activities of a living entity, it talks about the perceiver of all the 3 activities. So we'll try to share this very briefly with all of you, with the limited ability that I have at my disposal. So the purport begins with a sentence about intelligence. Without intelligence, one cannot understand the direct activities of the senses. And the purport ends also with intelligence. One must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's intelligence. So intelligence is a very important criterion, right? We talk about intelligence quotient, IQs, sometimes also emotional quotient. Intelligence quotient, such and such a child has got high IQ, we say that. But just imagine, what must be the intelligence quotient of Prahlad Maharaj? Inconceivable. In the womb of his mother, he has picked up the highest transcendental knowledge. There are no parameters by which we can judge his IQ. Such a supremely intelligent child who gives us Navavidha Bhakti, who gives us everything. So that is his intelligence. So no yardsticks can be really applied to talk about intelligence. So what is intelligence really? So intelligence basically refers, Prabhupada writes in his purport to Bhagavad Gita, that it refers to power to analyze things in their proper perspective. So we talk in terms of sat, asat, viveka buddhi. Viveka buddhi, discriminating power, understanding what is to be done, what is not to be done. So this is the discriminating ability of the intelligence. So intelligence and knowledge, this come from Krishna. Krishna is sarva karana karanam. So everything that we have, basically we are inheriting from Krishna only. So we talk of intelligence, we talk of our mind, we talk of our senses. So what is the hierarchy which is more important? Now, we find when we read the scriptures that mind is discussed in great detail. It is also a part of the subtle body. Intelligence also is a part of the subtle body. But somehow or the other, mind is the one which needs to be beaten with a stick. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that you have to beat it with shoe every time when you get up. But nobody says beat your intelligence with shoe. Though intelligence, you know, is a higher principle, subtler principle. So what is the hierarchy? So Bhagavad Gita very nicely tells us, Indriyani paranahu, indriyebhya param manaha, manastu para buddhi, ya buddhe paratastu saha. The working senses, our different karmendriyas, they are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, meaning the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So this is the priority. Actually, the soul is the boss. But somehow or the other, we never try to do any activity at the level of the soul. And our intelligence is always perverted. This is a pity. So the Kathopanishad, I won't quote the verse, but very clearly states that the individual soul is the passenger. If you consider our body to be a car or a chariot driven by horses, the senses are the horses, then in that car, the intelligence is the driver and mind is the driving instrument. Pragraham it is called. So this is the priority. So when the senses are under the control of the mind is under the control of the intelligence, and the intelligence is purified and looks towards the soul and the supreme soul, super soul, Paramatma, then things are absolutely okay. We are in peace and harmony. But unfortunately, though intelligence is supposed to direct the mind, this doesn't happen. The mind is supposed to direct the senses, but this also does not happen. So this is because the mind is so strong and obstinate. Arjuna says this, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, Pramathi, Balavad Drudam. So this is the nature of the mind. That being so, the mind overwhelms the intelligence. So intelligence is not able to perform its proper role. Though the intelligence is not supposed to control the mind, it is not able to do so. So Prabhupada, in his purport to the Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, he gives a very beautiful example. He says that sometimes there could be a very acute infection. Very acute infection. And then the drug which is used, that is overwhelmed by the infection. Right? Sometimes it happens, you know, you get an infection and the pathologist perform what is known as antibiotic sensitivity tests. So some diseases are just, you know, they are immune. No antibiotic works on it. So then they have to find out a specific strong antibiotic which will work and cure the infection. It's like that. Mind is very, very strong, very, very difficult. So in other words, there is a chaotic situation when the intelligence loses its authority over the mind. It's really a chaotic situation, and all of us are in that chaotic situation. How many of us can claim that by my intelligence, you know, I'm controlling my mind and my senses? No, it doesn't happen. Rarely happens. And Krishna warns us the dangers of having even one sense, you know, going astray. In a very beautiful verse, he says, Indriyanam hi charatam yat manaha anuvidhiyate, tadasya harati prajna vayur navam iti ambasi. Very beautiful example. He says that as a strong wind sweeps away a boat in the water, normally a boat is supposed to withstand the vagaries of weather. But if there is a very strong wind, what happens? The boat, you know, is driven away. The one who is guiding the boat, he loses control over the situation. And it goes anywhere. So he says that as a strong wind sweeps away a boat on water, even if one of the roaming senses, our senses are always roaming. Our eyes want to keep roaming, our ears want to hear something. All the time they are roaming. So then roaming senses on which the mind focuses, they can carry away a man's intelligence. Isn't it a fact that several wrong things that we do is just a momentary running away of our mind from what it should do. So that shloka is there, dhyayato vishan pumsa. So we just see something, we get attracted to something, and our mind tells us, it is actually, if the mind is really good, it will tell us, don't do this. But it doesn't happen. Our intelligence tells us, don't do it. But no. Any particular, our eyes get attracted, then we are gone. This is how it is. There are so many stories in Srimad Bhagavatam based on this, where one has seen a prostitute and his life is gone. So like that. So intelligence, you know, is lost and everything is lost. So we frequently use the term buddhi brashta. Buddhi brashta means buddhi has become corrupted. Intelligence has become corrupted. So it happens so easily. Our intelligence gets corrupted so easily. Sometimes we say he lost his intelligence. Now, intelligence, mind and ego and the soul, you don't see really. But then yet we say we lost. Lose it, because the whole thing gets corrupted and our spiritual life is totally destroyed. So we require a purified mind and a purified intellect and controlled senses to pursue Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. So that's all Bhakti Yoga is all about. We engage our mind. So this mind, which is the villain of the peace, when that is under control by engaging it in Krishna's service, then intellect is also very beautifully controlled. So the Bhagavad Gita tells us that intelligence is also subject to modes of material nature. So there are three beautiful verses in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter which talk about intelligence and its being subject to modes of material nature. Pravruttim cha nivruttim cha karya akarye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham cha yaveti buddhi sa partha sattviki. Please notice that buddhi hi sa, feminine term. So buddhi rules, should rule over the mind, but buddhi is a she, sa. So that intelligence, understanding by which one knows what ought to be done, what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. So when our intelligence is in the mode of goodness, and that it will be when it is, when we are engaged in devotional service, when we are looking up to the super soul in our heart, then everything happens very nicely for us. We understand what should be done and what should not be done. We understand what we should fear. We understand that we should fear Maya. Yeah? Prabhupada would tell his disciples that you are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So you know what we should be afraid of? We should be afraid of losing our Krishna consciousness. We should not be afraid so much of losing our wealth, losing our body. So all that knowledge and understanding comes when we have the intelligence in the mode of goodness. And what is binding? What binds us down to this material existence? What this material existence actually virtually grips us? How do we get out of this grip? This happens when our intelligence is in the mode of sattva. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha akaryam eva cha ayathavat prajnati buddhi saparth rajasi. Then he tells, O Arjun, O son of Pritha, that intelligence and that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. So even a person who has some intelligence, when he is in mode of passion, he does so many wrong things. He loses his intelligence, he loses his viveka buddhi to discriminate, and therefore he is in trouble. Prabhupada very frequently, one of his favorite statements in his writings is that a person, even with little intelligence, can, you know, understand that he is different from the spirit soul. The spirit soul is different from the body, and then he can pursue activities which should be actually ideally in the mode of sattva, but it doesn't happen. So that is for passion. And what is tamasa? Adharmam dharmam iti yamanye tamasa avruta sarvarthan viparitamsha buddhi sapartha tamasi. So that intelligence, buddhi, understanding, which considers irreligion to be religion, going one step further, irreligion to be religion, and religion to be irreligion, under the spell of illusion, tamasavrata, and darkness, strives always in the wrong direction. So this is demoniac intelligence. The most famous example we can think of is Ravan. We sometimes use this term, Vinashakale Viparita Buddhi. So when Ravan was about to meet his death at the hands of the Supreme Lord Prabhu Ramchandra, his buddhi became bhrashta totally. It became viparit. And when our buddhi becomes viparit, we don't heed any counseling. So though Vibhishan, the saintly, devotee of Prabhu Ram, counseled him, his wife Mandodari counseled him, his son Indrajit counseled him, Kumbhakarna also counseled him. But no, his buddhi had become, it had already in a wrong direction. And therefore, he was not heeding the counsel. And obviously, got destroyed. So this viparita buddhi is something which takes us totally in a very wrong direction. And we lose control over our lives. So every living entity has intelligence. From an ant to a human being to the highest living entity, Lord Brahma. His level of intelligence is different and ours is different. So everyone, Krishna by his compassion gives intelligence to everyone. There is that example of a newborn lizard. A lizard is just born. Doesn't undergo any training in any school, college, university or IIT or MIT. But as soon as it is born, it sticks out its neck to catch an insect. So that understanding and intelligence, Lord gives that lizard. A newborn babe knows how to suck milk from the mother's breast. So this intelligence the Lord gives. Unfortunately, that intelligence doesn't get channeled in the direction of the Supreme Lord, which is what is being talked about in this purport. And therefore, it goes in the wrong direction. So, therefore, we have to understand that whatever intelligence, Prabhupada says, whatever intelligence we have to use it in Lord's service. If you don't do it, we are not intelligent. We are fools. So, mundane intelligence, the so-called IQs of people, they are of no relevance. So, who will give us the intelligence to take up to the process of Krishna consciousness? Who else can give? Krishna himself has to give us that intelligence. So, in that very famous verse, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. So Krishna can give us the intelligence with which we can pursue devotional service. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So how to go back home, back to Godhead? Only Krishna will give us that buddhi yoga. Only Krishna, his representatives, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and in ISKCON and his disciples, they can tell us how to go back home, back to Godhead. We may think that we are the most intelligent people on the surface of earth, but the fact is, we are not. Whatever intelligence we have, that also is derived from Paramatma, and it is mundane, it is of no consequence in the ultimate analysis. If we have not understood the goal of life, then that intelligence is of no value whatsoever. So there are a few thoughts on intelligence. And in the Bhagavad Gita, I would conclude this particular subject matter by saying that there is a verse in which it says that for one who is thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, this is in the second chapter, 2.65, prasade sarva dukkhanam hanihi asya upajayate prasanna chetasahi ashu buddhihi pari avatishtate. Very beautiful verse. So he said, for one who is thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. So Krishna consciousness is all satisfying. And if we are satisfied, then we are no longer overwhelmed or bothered by the threefold miseries. They will come. Not that we are exempted. They will come. But we are not bothered. The word used is that we are not bothered anymore. So in such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So this has to be the endeavor. This is how we have to bring intelligence on the track. Then Srila Prabhupada in his purport quotes, Sarvasya chaham rudhi sannivishto matta smruti jnanam apohanam cha. Vedeshcha sarver aham eva vedyo vedantakrut vedavita chaham. So, for one, in this particular verse very clearly talks about the Lord seated in our heart, the most compassionate friend, Paramatma. I am seated in everyone's heart and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So, this Prabhupada writes here, the seer and controller is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Soul, by whose direction the individual soul can understand when he is awake, when he is sleeping, and when he is completely in trance. The Supreme Lord, situated as Paramatma in our heart, he is responsible for giving us all this. He gives us forgetfulness. Now, forgetfulness may be a curse during writing, you know, SSC paper or HSC papers. But otherwise, forgetfulness is a benediction. If you remember what we did in our past lives, and if you were to remember all the unpleasant things that we have gone through in this life, we would really be most miserable. It will be a most miserable existence. So forgetfulness is a blessing. In one sense, we do not remember many things. In fact, if you can forget even the insults, that word is used, forget and forgive. Sometimes we may forgive, but we never forget. So sometimes forgetfulness is a blessing. It's a benediction. So we should understand that the Lord gives us this forgetfulness. And here, Prahlad Maharaj is making a reference to the Lord. He's saying, Tayena eva anubhuyante saha adhyakshaha purushaha paraha. Adhyakshaha purushaha paraha. That is being translated here as, actually it is Supreme Personality, as Paramatma. So Bhagavad Gita also has a verse on this. Upadrushta anumanta cha bharta bhokta maheshwara. So Paramatma in our heart, he is a witness and he is an overseer. We may think that we don't know. If the Paramatma may not be, you know, he may not be really knowing what we do. We may try to do things slightly. But he is seated in our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And therefore, we have to accept the fact that the Paramatma in our heart is really the enjoyer. He is overseeing everything that we do. So he gives us forgetfulness. When we sleep, we forget who we are. We forget our miseries also. Then he gives us remembrance. Every day when we get up, we remember who we are. That's a big benediction. Very big benediction. If I sleep tonight, and tomorrow morning when I get up, I don't know that I am Rishabhanu Das, supposed to make progress in spiritual life, and I think, you know, that I am Manmohan Singh or something like that. That knowledge is not there, that who I am, at least in this material existence, I am nowhere. Of course, the truest knowledge is when I know my constitutional position. That, you know, I am Krishnera Nitya Das. That will be real knowledge, a real remembrance. But we remember things. We remember things by grace of the Lord. There are many individuals who have got superb memories. And then there are others who don't have memories. There are people who forget instantly. There are old people. They may have just eaten their food. They are washing their hands and they ask, "No, haven't you cooked anything today?" That also happens. There the mind and the intelligence are not working at all. So that way, human body and human life, they are subject to so many conditions. And Paramatma is the compassionate Lord who accompanies us through all the 8.4 million species of life that we have gone through. Eternal friend. Friendships of modern world, they are, you know, based on profit and loss. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. As His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj sometimes says, they are fair weather friends. When the weather is good, you are my friend. When the weather is bad, I have nothing to do with you. That is the nature of the material world. But Paramatma is our eternal friend who accompanies us through all the stages of our life. So here then we come to the discussion about the Buddhehe Jagaranam Swapnaha Sushuptiriti Vrittayaha. So actually all living entities, we are tossed virtually. Our consciousness is tossed between these states of Jagruti, then Swapna, Sushupti. And the fourth one is not mentioned here, but Prabhupada says it when he is in completely in trance, that is Samadhi. So these are four states which all living entities are actually tossed about. The fourth one is difficult. Samadhi is when the mind is totally fixed for understanding the self. When you are meditating on the 400 form of Paramatma in your heart, that is Samadhi. We won't go into that. So only one thing is certain, that one who is attached to material things, Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam, this Samadhi is impossible. So those who are attached to enjoyment, sense gratification, those who are addicted to this, for them Samadhi is out of question. So Prabhupada, in one of his definitions of Samadhi, he says that to say that one is in Samadhi, one should have fully realized that the state of Brahman, the state of Paramatma, and also the aspect of Bhagavan. So all three, when they are realized, you can say one is Samadhi. That is a very, very high, tall order. So now let us discuss briefly the three states. Jagruti. Jagruti is the waking or active state when the gross senses are totally absorbed in material energy, in material activities. All kinds of passionate activities we do, that is called as Jagruti. Now, for those who are in so-called Jagruti state, for them, the material world is all in all. They get involved in that Pavarga syndrome, as they call Pavarga, you know, Parishram. Then what is it called? Pain, foaming at the mouth, working hard until foam starts coming out. Then, you know, it is bandhana, get entrapped. Then bhaya, fear. Fear of so many things, fear of death. And then finally mrityu. So you get totally caught up in this situation. So even when we are awake, when we say we are awake, actually we are sleeping on the transcendental platform. We are fast asleep. At the level of the soul, we are fast asleep. At the level of the body, we are very much alert and very much awake. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us, Jiva Jago, Jiva Jago. Wake up, sleeping souls, says. And then there are also the Vedic aphorisms. Uttishtata, Jagrata, Prapyavaran, Nibodhata. So get up. Get up means what? I mean, you say, I'm awake, my eyes are open, you know, I'm able to hear. No, not that. Wake up from your slumber. So you are totally in material consciousness, wake up from that. So this is the cry which the Vedic scriptures give us, so that we become really awake. We don't sleep on the lap of Maya. And we awake. We are awake. So this is little bit about Jagruti state. Then Swapna. Swapna. Now, in this Swapna state, our consciousness gets completely covered over and we enter into a state which is known as dream. Now, there are dreams and dreams. Sometimes when a person is not very attentive, you say, what are you doing? You are daydreaming. This is very commonly used in English, daydream. So we keep dreaming different states. Now, dreams can be different types. So in a dream, you may think you are sleeping on a very nice bed, very comfortable bed, Dunlop pillow at your, everything is there, air-conditioned room maybe. Maybe even soft music is playing, everything. But then depending upon your consciousness, you dream. And in the dream, you see a ferocious tiger running after you. And you are running, and you are running, and you are running. The tiger is chasing after you. So you suddenly want to escape from the tiger. That tiger just comes and grabs you. It grabs you and then you say that, no, God, I'm dead now. So you literally scream. scream, and then you fall down with a thud from the bed on the ground. And then you realize, oh, I'm here only. No tiger is chasing me. For years after I got my doctorate, I got it in 1966. When I was in the university service, when I was a professor and head of the chemistry department, I used to get a dream that my thesis which was submitted for PhD, it used to go abroad in those days, that has been rejected. It was a constant dream. It's a reality. I used to dream like that. And then I would wonder what has happened. Sometimes break into a sweat. Why this has happened? This is a constant happening. So this happens to many people. We dream so many things. Sometimes there are pleasant dreams also, but by and large, dreams, scare you very much. So these are dreams, dream consciousness. You are apparently sleeping, but in sleep, you are somewhere else. So we won't go into analysis of dreams. There are people who analyze dreams. We won't go into that at all. But dreams are like this. Sometimes we see small children, and they're fast asleep, just newborn infants. They're smiling. You wonder, the mother wonders, what is there to smile about? Why is this child, smiling? And elderly people tell us that, the child is, dreaming of something very pleasant that happened in past birth. I wish we could also get such dreams. Most of the time, we are under so much stress, hardly able to sleep. The modern man has to take sleeping pills to get sleep. That is the situation. So that is sleep. So in the Swapna Avastha, this is what happens. So His Grace Radhesham Prabhu narrates a story about dream, which many of you may be knowing, but I would like to share it with you. There was this king. So he dreamt, he had a dream. So in the dream, he thought that he no longer was the king, but he was actually a butterfly. So this dream of his being a butterfly continued for a very long time. The dream went on and on and on and on. And then suddenly in the middle of the night, he got up with a start. He called all his ministers, he called all his courtiers, called them. He said, you must tell me right now whether I am a king dreaming that I am a butterfly, or am I a butterfly dreaming that I am a king? So if you don't clarify this, I'll chop off your heads. Now, actually, Radhesham Prabhu concludes in that both things were not true. He is thinking that he was the king. Is not true, because he is a spirit soul who is in a king's body. Right? So he is thinking that he is a butterfly is also not true. That is also wrong. So one situation is that he is in a dream. He thinks that he is the king. I am ruling over this. I am ruling over that. This is my palace. This is my wife. That is one sort of a dream, which all of us dream. Then in the dream, he's dreaming another thing, that he's a butterfly. So it's a dream within a dream. So all of us have this dream within a dream. Illusion in an illusion. So this is the dreamlike state which we all of us have. Then we come to Sushupti. Sushupti means deep sleep, in which callousness of a living entity is completely camouflaged, completely covered over. When you are in deep sleep, we do not know what is happening. There are people, you may bang at the door, you may do anything, they don't get up. The most classic example is, of course, Kumbhakarna. So he would sleep and sleep and sleep. And, they had to bring, elephants, and elephants, would travel over his body. Big, big drums, bugles would play. Then after it used to be a state effort to awaken him. It was not ordinary individuals. The state would be involved, state machinery would be involved to wake up Kumbhakarna. Anyway, this is an exaggeration, but Sushupti is that deep sleep, state of sleep. Now when we die, we are also placed in that situation. Death may come after 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever years, lifespan we have. But Sushupti, after that, when death comes, you are also put in a deep sleep. And it is that point in time that Paramatma facilitates our spirit soul to enter into another body. Depending upon whatever desires you have and whatever activities you have performed, you get another body. And in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapil Dev describes the travels of such a living entity entrapped in the womb of a mother. How much he has to suffer? A great deal he has to suffer. Now, therefore, it is marvelous that Prahlad Maharaj, in the womb of his mother, is able to imbibe transcendental knowledge. So, Kapil Dev says that this child who feels so much pain in the womb of the mother, he's crying out to Krishna, saying, Krishna, please save me from this situation. When I come out, I'll perform devotional service unto you. But then, when he comes out, he doesn't do that, he forgets. That's another story. So thus, we find that this is a state, kind of a sleeping state. Death is a state in which we may linger for a long time. After death, you may be in a state where we are put into sleep until we get another body. Of course, the endeavor of our devotees is not to get another material body, but to get a spiritual body at death. Antakalecha mameva smaranamuktva kalyanam. That is our goal. But depends upon what we have done. So accordingly, we'll get a body. So that's how it is. So we keep getting entangled birth after birth. So this is birth and death. That is a constant feature. And then Srila Prabhupada talks about here that that the living entity, and when he is completely in trance, and he talks about the, there is a dreaming state in which understanding comes from the Supreme Personality Godhead. Now this is a dream state which is so unlike the dreams that we have just now discussed. The most beautiful example is the example of the dream of Madhavendra Puri. Now, if those who are familiar with the story of Madhavendra Puri, that his pastimes, will understand that in that episode there are as many as 4 dreams. Now, the dreams that we dream never become realities, right? But the dreams that the great saintly personalities like Madhavendra Puri or Sanatan Goswami and others dream, they are translated into realities. So they are a different category whatsoever. So we have that beautiful story of Madhavendra Puri. I don't know whether I have the verses. Yeah. So this is that story wherein Madhavendra Puri comes to Vrindavan. So he goes to the Govardhan Hill, very tired, hungry, had not asked for food. He doesn't ask for food. That is one of his traits. Doesn't beg for food. So he's there sitting, and then the merciful Lord, Gopal, he brings him a pot of milk. It's a long story, won't go into details. He brings a pot of milk and says that, so here is a pot of milk for you. Please drink it. He says, how did you know? You know, who told you that, you know, I have not eaten anything? He says that there are some village women, they saw you and, you know, they have given me this milk. Please drink it. And please drink. And then, you know, I have to go now. I have to rush back because, you know, my mother will scold me otherwise. So I'll come for the pot later. Don't be in anxiety. Just drink the milk. So then it says, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dugdha Pana Kari Bhanda Dhuna Rakhila Bata Deke Se Balak Punana Aila. So after drinking the milk, Sri Madhavendra Puri washed the pot and then he put it aside and then he looked toward the path. He was constantly looking at the path. When will this boy come? I have to return this pot to him. So that is his consciousness. But the boy doesn't return. Gopal doesn't come again. Then, Vasinamalaya Puri Nidra Nahi Aay Shesharate Tandra Haila Baya Vrutti Lai. Now this is the state I am discussing actually. Madhavendra Puri could not sleep. So when he could not sleep, what did he do? Watch TV. He sat and chanted Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with great intensity. And as he was chanting, Shesha Ratri, whole night, So not sleeping. Tandra hai la. In Marathi there is a word tandri. You know, somehow it very gels with this word. Tandra hai la. So he sort of dozed off. He dozed off. And his external activity stopped. Right? So in a dream, what happened?
Swapne deke se balak sammuke asina ek kunje lana gela hat te dharina.
So in a dream, Madhavendra Puri saw the very same boy. The boy came before him and he actually held Madhavendra Puri's hand and he took him to a bush. He took him to a bush and there he told him, see, I'm lying here for so many days and so many months and so many years. I have faced the blazing sun. I have faced the rains. Now, please, take me out of that situation and put me in my proper situation. Construct a temple for me. So thus, this dream which Madhavendra Puri gets, it is not just a dream. To Madhavendra Puri, it is spiritual instruction. It's an instruction that is received. So he receives that instruction and acts on it. Next day, morning, he gets up. The first thing he does is assemble the villagers. Hare Krishna. And he says that, come with your spades, come with your axes, you know, clear the way to that place. And then let us go to that area. He takes them. Gopalji had held his hand and taken him in a dream. But now Madhavendra Puri remembers that so vividly. And he takes him to that self same spot. And there it is dug. And then they get the beautiful form of Gopalji. And then the temple is constructed. So he gets so many dreams. And then there is another dream. The second dream is that after the Gopalji temple is built, where he is worshipped wonderfully well every day. So many sevas going on. Every day there is virtually feast, different villagers coming with different things. Everything is happening perfectly. Then he gets a dream. In that dream, the instruction to Madhavendra Puri is that, you know, my body heat is still very much existent. So I want you to dissipate this heat by applying chandan. For that purpose, go to Jagannath Puri. Many devotees are planning to go to Jagannath Puri. So go to Jagannath Puri, go to that Malaya, that region, and get sandalwood from Malaya and prepare a paste and apply it. Now this instruction again is in a dream. And for him it is life and soul, Madhavendra Puri. Immediately embarks on that. Then the third dream in that episode is the dream that comes to the head priest of Kshirachor Gopinath, right? Where Gopinath tells the head priest in a dream that, you know, I have stolen one of the pots of, you know, the kheer. So, you know, give it to Madhavendra Puri. Now the priest also takes it seriously. He doesn't think it is hypothetical. He goes and checks. Yes, indeed, one of the, you know, pots is missing. Prasadam pots is missing. It is behind the curtain somewhere. So he retrieves it, gives it to Madhavendra Puri. The fourth dream Madhavendra Puri gets is when he goes, collects all the sandalwood, everything is facilitated by mercy of Krishna, and then when he is on his way back, he gets a dream saying that, don't worry, you don't have to come all the way. You are my most sincere devotee. You don't have to come all the way to Vrindavan. You apply the sandalwood paste on the transcendental body of Gopinath and I will feel cool here. So this is the fourth dream that is also acted upon. So thus, the dreams that the devotees dream, when they see a spiritual master or they see the deity, those dreams have a different connotation and they have a different significance. Whereas most of us, these states are quite different. I would like to conclude here. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If anybody has any comments or questions, please feel free. Hare Krishna.
Not able to hear you. द्वा सुपर्णा सयुजा सखाया समानम वृक्षम परिचय स्वजाते तयो अन्यः पिपलम स्वादुअत्ति अनश्नन अन्यः अभिचाक्षिति. नाउ सोल एंड सुपर सोल विच आर पर्ज्ड ऑन द सेम ट्री दैट इज बॉडी. वन इज ईटिंग द कर्मफल एंड अनदर इज साक्षी भाव दैट इज द सुपर सोल. नाउ आई एम कन्फ्यूज ओवर हियर दैट यू मेन्शन रिगार्डिंग द कठोपनिषद आत्मानं रथिनं विद्धि शरीरं रथमेव तु बुद्धिं तु सारथिं विद्धि मनः प्रग्रहमेव च इन्द्रियाणि हयानाहु विषयांस्तेषु गोचरान् आत्मेन्द्रिय मनोयुक्तं भोक्ते त्याहुर् मनीषिणा.
स्कॉलर ऑफ संस्कृत आई कैन सी दैट.
नो आई हैव गॉन थ्रू आई एम कन्फ्यूज्ड ओवर दैट हियर इन द फर्स्ट सिद्धांत द आत्मा इज साक्षी भाव एंड इन दिस आत्मा इज एंजॉइंग अलॉन्ग विथ ऑल द इंद्रियाज एंड that is where I am.
Mundaka Upanishad also talks about two birds sitting on the branch of a tree. You may be familiar about that verse as well, in which the Upanishad says very clearly that there are two birds sitting on the branch of a tree which is laden with fruits. One bird is the bird which eats those fruits, right? Some of them are sweet, some of them are bitter. That is the living entity. And then there is another bird, the Upadrushta Hanumanta bird, that is Paramatma sitting in the heart. So he is the Sakshi, he is the witness, right? So the impersonalists may view it the same Atma, they may not even accept, or some others may not accept this Paramatma, but by and large, Upadrushta Hanumanta refers to Paramatma sitting in our heart, who is the witness, who notices everything that happens, he is watching. Until such time as the bird which is trying to eat the fruits, sweet and bitter fruits, of the tree, he doesn't do anything, he just observes. According to the activities he performs, he jumps into another tree, jumps into another body, right? But when this eating bird turns towards the other bird, turns towards Paramatma, then you know the spiritual life, you know, begins. And that is what we are supposed to be doing. So that verse, Sarvasya Chaham Rudhi Sannivishto, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam. It's a very, very educative verse in which we can be conscious that the Lord is there within us every moment and He is the representation of the Bhagwan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagwan, who is total picture of what is transcendence. So Paramatma is in our heart. So we should be conscious of that and orient our life accordingly. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.